No. I talked to Shauna.
Okay. I am sitting around the table. We just had a wonderful meal. And the reason we got together was we wanted to celebrate my sister surviving the Missouri 340 race down the river in a kayak. And so we're going to throw a bunch of questions at her, and I think you're going to find an interesting interview coming on. Tammy, what is the race called?
Missouri River 340.
And it's the longest river race in the world?
I've heard that. I think that's correct.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever heard of even any shorter river races?
No, but now that I'm getting to know some people on the Missouri River, there are people that do little races here and there.
But this is the biggie.
Yep, that's the biggie.
Any idea when this started?
I'm going to say 17 or 18 years ago.
Okay, all right. And there have been a few years when they couldn't do it.
I believe four years.
For what reasons?
Weather. Huh. Yeah, I'm not sure what actually, if it was just, I know they cut it short last year because of storms.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think it's been 4 years that they've not been able to do it.
How many entrants were there?
Penny, do you know? Yeah, I'm not.
I heard over 400.
I'm thinking it was like 620, but 420 boats or something like that. Something like that.
Uh-huh.
Penny probably can look it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to get my glasses because there's some information
on there. And was any idea who the youngest might have been?
They could have, I'm going to say they might have had 12 or 13-year-olds in there.
Wow.
But what it had to be is it had to have been a family
type
thing. And, you know, there's no, I think you had to be at least 18 if you're going to do it yourself.
Oh, I see.
But I would see teams of like four, and you could tell some of them were probably 12 or 13.
Now, are you going to disclose your age?
65.
Okay. Were there older people? Probably.
I met one lady that was 69.
Wow.
And she broke her wrist a month ago, so she didn't think she was going to be able to do it. And she's done it for like the last 8 or 9 years.
Wow.
And somebody found her a boat with that you could bicycle.
Oh, wow.
And she succeeded. And she has been, she is quite the lady.
Huh.
Yeah, she, yep. Because I told her how old I was, and she goes, well, I'm 69. I go, well.
Do you know how much sooner she got to the end?
I don't know. I really don't.
Yeah.
Do you think there were more men or more women or about equal?
More men.
More men. Okay. Did it feel like there were quite a few people repeating it year after year?
Yes.
Huh.
And I don't understand that. But.
Okay. Were there classes like one group were multiple rowers and so they were different than, you know what I'm saying?
They started out the solos. The men and women solos got to go first, and then an hour later they did the others, and you would have tandems of two, you could have tandems of four or five, and that would be kind of like a family probably. And they had a couple of, I think they even had two people that were doing bicycles or something. I mean, they had some really interesting.
Oh, and some were standing up.
Interesting vehicles.
Yeah, some were standing up.
But all were, yeah, no, they had these young kids would be standing up and paddleboarding, and they were the ones that won the race.
Really?
They won the race.
Huh.
And they have dragon boats, which have, I think, about 9 or 10 people.
Yeah, and I was, like I said, they did solos, and I knew that these guys would catch up with me pretty quick, and sure enough, and there was one bunch, and it was five young men, and I mean, they have to have a motor on that boat. They flew by me like nobody's business.
And they're single.
They were five young men in a boat.
Oh, five.
And
in
they
a boat.
Yeah,
okay.
And I mean, they flew by me so fast.
Yeah, so they were just like
fun.
A those canoeing.
So I knew I wasn't going to win the race, so I just go, I'll just paddle.
Were they like the boat racers in the Olympics?
I would, you know,
I mean, that they had two oars each or something? Or were they using rows?
I don't know, man. I'm not sure. I think they went by so fast I couldn't tell what they were doing.
And Terry,
I think they
did win it, you said.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, they were in the top five, but yeah.
And those, I have a question. Those ones that won, did they get there in like 40-some hours, do you know?
Again, Penny probably knows more than that, but I think it was
right
like
around
40.
Yeah, so
and
half the
would,
time.
And
they don't
would,
stop.
Yeah, they don't stop.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, they looked like Olympians to me.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, so that, you said the guys that were actually using the boards that they stand up on were really fast.
They were. I think they all did very well.
How come?
I don't know, but they've got these huge, I mean, these oars are long, and I don't know if it's just an extra.
There's no drag. I mean, they're just on top of the water.
Yeah, and like I said, they all looked about 25, and, you know, just worked out like you wouldn't believe. Okay. But, and then they would just have like a 5-gallon bucket they'd sit on and take a break. Mm. And they actually, one of the men talked to me, and he goes, that's my paper on your boat. Penny had put up that list of the...
Oh, he's the one who did
that. Yeah, and he said, my name's on the bottom of that paper, so...
That's just...
Yeah. Hmm.
But, and there wasn't a lot of those. And what's interesting was I signed up for it, and then about a month later, I thought, I'm going to just see if I got registered. I wasn't on the solos.
Oh,
and... Lo and behold, they had me on the stand-up boards.
No,
we have to get this taken care of. Well, and I'm sure it's my typo.
If you want to do it on a stand-up board, Patrick built one.
I know this, and Patrick should do it. Yeah. And you also have a grandson that wants to do it.
I don't know if you have young children. I don't know if it'd be a good idea.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure these 20, I mean, they're all young men. They're all Patrick's age or younger.
They may not have children.
I don't know.
You know, I mean, there's a good chance you're going to make it.
But no, it's very interesting, the different types of boats.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, I think, probably cost more than a lot of people's cars. Yeah. Lots of money in some of these boats, I think.
And so as anything goes, as long as it doesn't have a motor on it.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess if you want to enter an inner tube, they might let you do it, you know.
It would seem like the paddle ones where they're like on a bicycle and pedaling, it doesn't seem like that.
It doesn't to me either. And like I said, this lady that broke her wrist, I go, boy, I hope. And she goes, I'm not much of a biker. I'm not sure how I'm going to do. But I heard she did.
Very well.
Finished. And I mean, there's just been multiple stories on this lady.
Mm-hmm. Did she have some kind of a rudder to help?
Possibly. And I had a rudder, but I didn't know how to use it, so I didn't use it.
Did you have any advantage over a lot of people?
I think my advantage was the heat never bothered me. And a lot of people complained about the heat. It didn't bother me at all. And I think just knowing I probably put on 1,000 miles on the Missouri River. So I ran into a lot of situations, and I knew it wasn't going to be a real fun race. I think some of these people go out and think it's going to be, you know, a trip on the Merrimack or something, and they realize that it's not that fun.
How did you train for it?
I really didn't know what to do. Once summer came, I kind of did aerobics and did the paddling and the, you know, swimming and paddling type thing for 45 minutes or an hour. And I don't know if it helped or not. I thought my shoulders would hurt. That wasn't a problem
either. What about
your
forearms?
No, my arms did not hurt. My arms didn't hurt.
That's insane.
The only thing that hurt was your butt.
And I am just now healed.
Wow. And that's been... 2-3 weeks.
3 weeks. I mean, it was almost all healed, but there must have been a pretty deep spot.
When did it stop hurting?
Probably about the time I left Ireland.
Okay.
Because I kept telling Johnny, just for your information, my butt sure feels good.
Is there anything you should have done differently so your butt would have...
Figure out there was something wrong with that seat. I should have figured it out. Because it's not even the normal. It was more my lower back. So my lower back was I mean, way lower back. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely rubbing on the seat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I know I sell that bike, but we got to fix that seat. Mm-hmm. Sell the boat.
Tell Sam what you ate.
Well, I was planning on just eating peanut butter, but yeah. Then a friend of mine said, I'm going to be your land crew person, and she saved me, and she made sure I had meals at any stop I wanted to be at, and so I ate very well.
And
I went from eating
to sleep.
Yep, I went from eating just peanut butter to having pretty good meals.
And okay. You feel like, could you have made it on just peanut butter?
Probably could have, but...
But the lack of sleep would have...
Lack of sleep might have cut off with me. The first night, I didn't have a land crew, and I thought I'd be fine. I was going to just wrap myself up in a little blanket, stick my nose out, and the bugs just ate me alive. So I got about 2 hours of sleep. But then the land crew came in, this friend of mine, and she saved me.
What time did you end up in Miami the first night?
It was late, about 11:30.
Okay. You started at 7 a.m.?
Yes.
And you had one stop in Waverly?
Yes.
Okay. And your husband brought you a hamburger?
Yeah. Bill actually brought me a hamburger at Waverly, and we had a problem. I didn't click my phone right, and so I was not registered in the race. And my phone just started exploding about 10 yards into the river. I go, I am not answering this phone. I'm not doing it. I haven't even gotten on the Missouri River. And so then finally, I think I got my act together about 10 or 11. So I better check these messages. And they go, we don't have you registered. Well, then I called Bill and I said, Bill, talk to him, figure it out. And he finally got figured out in Waverly.
Yeah,
so
we saw you still at home.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, but my phone exploded, and I go, I am not answering the phone, and something, I mean, I'm sure it's something I did wrong, and then after that, we got things straightened out, and it's also Androids.
Yeah.
So basically,
friends don't let their friends have Androids.
Yeah.
So basically, you didn't get out of the boat from the time you left Kansas City until you got to Waverly, Missouri. Which is 70 miles?
70.
Okay.
And you don't realize it, but and the help there was just fabulous. And they pretty much grabbed each one of my arms, made sure I didn't fall back in the river, because just getting the blood flow back and all that. So, but
what was it like at night in the dark?
It wasn't fun at all. They say that it's supposed to be a really nice and beautiful and cool, and number one, the heat didn't bother me, so that wasn't all that great. I don't see that well, period, so you throw lack of, I couldn't see. I mean, the moon, I didn't realize this, I must have been sleeping through that class in science. I just assumed the moon came up right after the sun.
It was 11:30.
Yeah, it was like 10:30. Yeah. I go, I am off the river at 10:30. And so I did not, and my lights, I had legal lights so people could see me, but I really couldn't see what I was doing. And I had a headlight, but it was too bright. I absolutely couldn't see then. And you'd hear rushing water, and I go, okay, there's a dike here, but is it 20 yards out in the river, 50 yards out in the river,
so
I just would paddle like
blindly.
Crazy. Pretty much.
Would you follow the lights of the boats
I
in
would,
front of
yes,
you?
And if there are boats in front of me, then I would kind of keep an eye on them. But no, I probably put 50 miles in the dark, and none of it was fun.
Did the bugs, insects bombard you at night, or
the only time I had the only time I had trouble was when I that first night I was sleeping in Miami, and I mean I just had a little hole for my nose, and I mean I woke up the next morning and
so they somehow got under
somehow
the
or other I had a lot of friends in that under that blanket.
What did you take with you in the boat? You had a phone, water.
Well, I took a thing that you could filter water out of the Missouri River. Everybody you talked to said, don't do that. But I said, I've done this for 200 miles, and I was fine. And I just believed in packing light. So the first day I drank out of the Missouri River, I think I had a 20-ounce bottle of water in the Missouri River. Well, then, like I said, that friend of mine took over and helped me, and I keep two bottles of water in the boat at all times. And then if I ran out of water before my next stop, I would drink out of the Missouri River.
How does the Missouri River water taste?
It's fine. But the only thing, like I said, the first day, I thought that I was pretty much going to be doing this by myself. So I had a small tent, an air mattress, a little mummy blanket that I used the first night. No, I didn't have a tent. I opted out on a tent. Oh. I basically had about 20 pounds extra in my boat, and I was going to eat just peanut butter and minimal water, a raincoat, and I think a little bit of ibuprofen. I think that might have been it, and my filtered water bottle.
What were the dangers?
Flipping over, driving in the dark.
Barges. Your barge confrontation.
Do you want that story?
Sure.
Can I tell my favorite dangerous story, my pre-training story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Compared to about a week or 10 days before I was on the Missouri River, I hadn't been in this boat a whole lot. I thought, I got to get some experience. And it was calling for bad weather that day. And I thought, well, you know, I've never really experienced bad weather on the Missouri River. So I called my sweet little big older sister and said, Penny, would you drop me off at Miami? Because I want to also know how to get in and off of that ramp. So Penny goes, yeah, sounds good. And she goes, it's going to be hot that day, so let's start early. So we got there early. I said, Penny, take a picture of me in this boat so I know how much I'm sinking down in it. And it looked beautiful. It was gray, overcast, but just a beautiful picture.
And the radar didn't look too bad.
Yeah. Just fine. So anyway, I was strolling along. About an hour later, I go, you know, it's starting to get kind of windy. I probably better be pulling off to shore. And about that time, whoosh, I mean, it went from just kind of windy to I immediately tipped. Then I tipped again. And each time it tipped, it thunked me in the head. I went under, took a big gulp of Missouri River water. This happened 3 times, but then in the meantime, I lost my boat. We were going upriver. And I go, okay. And I had packed absolutely everything I needed in that boat, so I knew the weight. And so I go, okay, I lost my boat. I lost my 2 sets of paddles. The only thing I have is my female urinal that I caught, and that's it. And so I think I had a plastic spoon sticking on my life jacket. And after the third thunk on the head, I go, okay, Lord, I just want to get out of this river. I don't care. So I lost the boat, and I got to thinking, I go, okay, if I just treadle water out in the middle of Missouri River, wind's going to eventually die, and then the boat will come back and I can get it. And that's what happened. So I got the boat, and the only thing I lost was my water filter. So I didn't have any water, and it was right at the Brunswick Terminal, right before you got to the Brunswick Terminal. So it's probably, I'm guessing, 20 miles from Glasgow. So I didn't have any water, but I drank a lot of Missouri River water, so I was probably okay.
Tammy, do you have to take the boat to the edge
Dumped it out, and like I said, that's all I lost, and they were all in these little individual compartments, and so everything worked well, but I was the only person on that river that day. Mm-hmm. No boaters, no... Yeah. Fishermen, no barges, no. I kept 1 set of paddles, and the other paddles were still on the boat. So I had the paddles and my urinal.
Wow.
But if I had lost everything, I didn't have a phone. I was stuck in the middle of some field, probably somewhere. But that was one of the scarier things I've had.
And I'm just going to add that she was a few miles from Brunswick, and they had a tornado at that time.
Well, and I came...
The trees knocked over in Brunswick, so it was a storm.
Yeah, and I came home that night, and they had Brunswick, and they said 60 to 70 mile an hour wind. So I did learn how to handle a storm. And actually, after that, the Missouri 340 wasn't near as bad as that adventure. So.
But tell about the... time you ran into the barge. I mean, that
was... Well, in Boonville, I had several barges, but again, they weren't super big, and you just kind of rode the waves and you were all right. But as I was getting to the end of my trip, and I was getting more and more tired. I figured out I went 104 miles the first day, 108 the second day, 75 the third day, and 70, and it took me about the same amount of time each day. So I was definitely running out of gas. But the last day I was at Klondike, I'm guessing I had 25 miles left. And they had warned us, there's a barge coming up. And sure enough, and there was another couple that was going. I thought, I'm going to follow them because they probably know what they're doing. So I followed them, and they seemed to get by pretty good. And I mean, I was just riding the waves, and I mean, I was doing everything I could to stay upright. And the water hit me once, and luckily I had my skirt on, and I think that saved me from flipping. Mm-hmm. And that couple goes, "We cannot believe you got through that." And I said, "You know, if I'd flipped, I probably would have not been able to finish a race."
Why? Just
because by the time you get it,
and you're so tired,
and getting to the bank, and so I mean. I just knew I had to keep afloat because I was running out of time. So, and I guess a Penny said that somebody did get sucked under.
At the same place. Yeah. Some guy.
No,
they got sucked underneath that. Their kayak was just torn up. They quit. They didn't finish after that. But he said he was under the barge, and he said it was probably a minute later. It kind of just sucked him back, pushed him back under. Or the barge went over him.
I mean, you do everything under the sun to stay away from those boats, but you still have to deal with the waves. And they are, you know, I mean, it's their navigating, you know, that's their job. I get it. You know, we're kind of just playing around. But that was, you know, and I just knew if I tipped, I'd be probably not finishing the race.
Talk about the checkpoint and the time limits.
They give you a book on what you have a certain time each day you have to be at a certain place. If you don't, then you're kicked out of the race. And a friend of mine did this 3 years ago, and I kind of followed her route. And so first checkpoint was Waverly, and I think it was 8:00 that night. I got there at 6, I think, and then I went on to Miami, and I got in at Miami at like 11. So I had a 30-mile cushion. Mm-hmm. Then I think Glasgow, and I think Glasgow is the next checkpoint, and it was 4, and I got there, I'm thinking, about noon the next day. So I kept on having these good cushions. And then at Herman, you're supposed to be there at 8:00 in the morning the next day. I got there like at 9:00 that night and slept. Urban is later than that. It was about 10, 11. But I didn't leave, and I left at 5:30, you know, but my cushions were getting less and less.
Yeah, 5:30 a.m.
And I had been at Herman at 8 a.m., but, you know, I was having like a 4-hour cushion, and it's getting less and less. But, and... Then so anyway, you have to make these time limits or you're out of the race.
How did you make them? Because you were paddling pretty good?
I think so. And like I said, I just knew I had to make Miami would be, you know, I just knew. And again, I knew I was older and not as strong as probably everybody else. And you have to kind of prepare yourself for in case you get tipped over or, you know. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. So
the younger guys from Glasgow made Glasgow their first stop, so they paddled pretty much all night.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up there like 4 a.m. and then since they had family in Glasgow, they came and got them, and they took showers and had a meal and probably slept 4 or 5 hours, and they took off. But they had the endurance to pretty much go go that long, yeah, mm-hmm. the younger guys.
Yeah.
Huh. Hey, Tammy, when you slept, did you sleep real good or did you hurt?
I didn't the first night.
Right, but those other
the
nights?
The other nights. Well, then the next night, that friend had right. me at her house, and that was also a problem because
I said, don't tell them why you slept well.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I was at this friend's house, and I mean, it was tough the next morning getting out of that bed.
And it's Cooper's Landing.
It's at Cooper's Landing, and oh, I should have been on the water by 6 a.m., not 8 a.m. I mean, I had my coffee and a nice little egg McMuffin, and yeah. I should have.
Do you think you got 7 hours of sleep?
Oh, then? No, I got, it was midnight by the time I got to bed. So, and then the next night, this friend of mine, Larissa, had my tent all ready, my air mattress, my...
Did she know that was going to happen?
I did not know. She offered to do it, and I said, you don't need to. And she goes, I'm going to. And she did. And I mean, she saved me because I slept probably 5 hours at night at the tent. And then she said, I'm going to wake you up. She goes, I'm not going to, if it's foggy, I'm not going to wake you up until the fog lifts. And that would have screwed me up too, because if the fog didn't lift until 8 or whatever.
And they weren't going to readjust the time.
No, they wouldn't. No, you just have to figure out the, you know, and there was one time I was making pretty good time, and I was at... It was somewhere between Jeff City and, I'm going to say Chamoy, I'm not sure, Mokane or Chamoy. Mm-hmm. And it was starting to get windy. And I go, I'm just going to go on by. I go, nope. And I turned around and made a U-wee. I thought, I'm coming back. I mean, I recall the last time it kind of got windy on me. And the lady at the checkpoint goes, I think you did a right choice. I said, well, I could paddle, but there's white caps out there, and why should I wear myself out going mm-hmm. a half a mile? And so I did. I hung out there for half an hour, 45 minutes.
Rested a little bit.
But I mean, you know, you really don't want to be out of the water, but I thought, I'm not going to kill myself to go a half a mile or get flipped.
Live and learn, yeah.
Yeah, I learned from my fun experience mm-hmm. a couple weeks before, so... Mm-hmm.
Was a good camaraderie amongst the people canoeing with you?
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Everybody, and it's, you know, the older people kind of hung out together because, you know, we'd see the same people all the time. I mean, those young boys, they were long gone. Mm-hmm. And like I said, this couple that I followed on the on Klondike with the barge, they, wow, you did a good job. And they were there at the end and said, you know, rooting for me. And when I got on at Call Point, my son-in-law dropped me off. The boat was already parked. This was in Kansas. At the beginning, my son-in-law, we dropped the boat off the night before. I stayed at my son-in-law's house, his mother's. And he dropped me off because there's so much parking problems and all that. And I said, I'm sure somebody will help me get my boat in the water. And some young lady, I'll help you. And we sat and talked for the whole time we were waiting in line. And she goes, I said, I don't know if I can do it. I'm going to try it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she gave me some. And she had done it one other time. And she was a land crew for her family. And she was the first person, she goes, I know your number, I'm going to be tracking you. Mm-hmm. And she was the first person to meet me when I got off at St. Charles. She goes, you did it, I knew you could, you know. And just, then another lady was helping me, and she goes, you're the one that killed the goose with your boat. And I said, yes, I am, you know. And, yeah, so, yes, the people were wonderful.
What was the goose killing story? We haven't heard that, have we? Maybe we shouldn't. Yeah. Talk
no, it's. I was at Boonville. No, I was at Roachport, going to Cooper's Landing, and it was dark, and there wasn't a whole lot of people in front of me, so I was just kind of guessing what was going on. Next thing you know, I got stuck. Well, first I tipped over. Because I hit a stupid, those rock things, dikes or whatever, tipped over. But luckily, I tipped over on a sandbar. Yeah. So I got my boat readjusted. And the problem is pitch darks, moon hadn't come up yet. And I go, if I get the boat too far off the sandbar and I'm not in it, I might lose my boat. I don't know. So anyway, you had to kind of get in the boat and then kind of scoot yourself off and poke with your pole. And, you know, so I spent 15 minutes wrestling with that. Successfully got off the sandbar. 3 minutes later, got back on it again because, you know, and that's when I stirred up, I don't know how many geese, but then some goose thunked my boat, and so I just assumed it was dead. I don't know. But I finally did the same procedure. I did my 10 minutes of getting off sandbar and finally got, well, and I called Larissa. I go, Larissa, I don't know where I'm at. And she was tracking me. She goes, you're 9 miles from Cooper's Landing. Do you want me to send help? I said, no, I just want to know where I'm at. And I said, I just killed a goose. And,
but know, how would she send help? I'm just curious.
They have people that, you've got problems. Gotcha. There was a couple people that, older people that were in a boat having problems. And so,
another man solo who got stuck in the same spot and then
That's what you said. That's okay. I did not read about it. I mean, you read about it, I believe.
Yes, yeah.
That was not a fun experience. I just, you know.
Yeah, it was pretty much the same place and he quit.
Yes.
Was it pretty?
It was pretty. I mean, just like going to Napoleon. I mean, yeah, and these towns are beautiful on the river. And I knew what I was getting myself into, a Cazot Herman. And you can see Herman forever. And I know this because I've done this before in a smaller boat, and it was forever. So I didn't get my hopes up, but at least you know you're getting there. But I mean, I think you can see Herman 5 miles away. Mm-hmm. And I mean, an hour later, I was still looking at Herman. But it was it's a beautiful town. But yeah, it's very deceiving.
Mm-hmm. So did you ever, how many times did you think I'm not going to make it?
The only time, I think, when I was dealing with that barge, I go, if I tip over, I'm screwed. Yeah. And I also thought, if I run out of time, I'm still going to finish the race and just say I finished it in 90 hours or whatever. I mean, I was going to finish the race.
Where some people gave up. They just didn't.
I think a lot of these people just don't realize. It's really, I mean, I'm very glad I did it. It was a wonderful experience, but I don't think people realize, you know, I had no idea that I would have a decube on my fanny that took 2 weeks to heal. Right, right. And trust me, it was not fun sitting on it the last day.
And most people don't have the endurance you have.
You know, I don't, I mean, I just knew that I just...
We just call it grit.
You
got grit.
I mean, I knew that it was going to be, you know, but I think a few advantages, like I said, I think a lot of people had trouble with the heat. I didn't know it was hot. I really didn't bother me. I think I soaked my hat a couple of times. Yeah. But
did you have blisters?
I had blisters on my hand, and I wore Crocs. And I didn't even wear the Crocs. I mean, I just had them on my feet. But it must have been just the way. I had blisters on my feet. Oh, okay. The last day, I was barefoot.
Okay. Yeah, I wondered, your hands?
My hands got blistered.
Was that awful or not?
Not, I mean, bad. Compared to my decube on my fanny, it was nothing. Mm-hmm. No, that was a terrible sore.
And how many hours did that hurt you, a day or?
After about 2 days, pretty much the whole time, the last 2 days. Oh, and I had a sponge that I had just for whatever, and I got it so I could kind of cushion it a little bit, but it still hurt. And then after I got home, or when I got done, you could take a shower, which I needed one. So I took a shower, and I mean, that water hit that spot, and it woke me up. It lit me up. So
did your husband complain about how you smelled when
I took a shower before he he didn't say a whole lot. I had two showers, actually. I had one at Cooper's Landing and one at the shower house.
They had a place there for you all. That was nice.
No, the support group the support people were absolutely fabulous. Mm-hmm. And and they would check on you for, you know, how are you doing, how are you doing? They'd have these safety boats all over creation. So it's actually the most I've never had that much safety people in my life. You know, I usually am by myself, so this is really nice.
Yeah.
So, Tammy, why did you do this?
I love the Missouri River, and I've done lots on the Missouri River. I thought, but this is something I've never done, and I didn't know if I could do it. I thought, well, I'll never know if I don't try it. So,
you love the river.
I do.
I can't even imagine what that's all about.
When I was in third grade, I had a history book called Where Rivers Meet. And it was the talking about the Missouri and the Mississippi.
Mm.
And I mean, I fell in love with that book and how the Indians and the fur traders and St. Louis and St. Genevieve.
Do you still have that book? It's a
textbook. But Jared, my son, ordered it. I said, Jared, can you find that book? He goes, you want it in French or English? I said, preferably English. And so anyway, I got that book, and anybody wants to read it. I fell in love with the Missouri River when I started reading that book in third grade.
How long did you sleep after you finished the race?
You know, let me think. Probably
just a normal.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, I think I slept till like 9 or something.
Did you sleep in the truck on the way home?
No. I was hurting. I had to get off my bottom.
Hmm.
I slept on my stomach for.
Now, what actually was your time?
Oh, yeah, I barely made it. I think your time is supposed to be 88 or 86. I made it an hour, 85 or 87 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was making good time. And then, like I said, I should have went further the third day. But again, I hate that darkness.
Yeah.
And it would have been, I'd already been looking at Herman for 5 miles and hadn't gotten there. But I should have went on to New Haven, I think, but I just did not want to be in the dark.
Would your friend
I would have called her, and she probably would have packed up my tent, and I mean, she was awesome.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
It all worked
out. And it worked out. And again, if I hadn't finished, I was going to finish it and just say, well, no one's here to greet me, and I didn't get my little medal, but I finished the race.
So most people don't have the issues of traveling at night like you did.
Some people love traveling at night, and
they can see.
They must be able to see, and maybe I had too bright a light headlight. I don't know, but my lights totally screwed me up, and then I just didn't have enough light on my boat. They could see me, but I could.
So you turned your headlight off?
Yeah, I turned it off because it was making me even more blind.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know, but I don't have very good night vision, so that might be.
So if somebody who's 20 years old comes up to you and says, should I consider doing this race? What will you tell them?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But it's not fun.
Yeah. No, and I mean, for a 20-year-old, it might be fun, you know? And it was fun. Meeting the people, and there were times, like I said, most of the time, you're just paddling very quietly down the river, and it's beautiful.
And you were still having kind of fun in Glasgow. When we went to Glasgow, you act like, this is kind of fun.
Yeah, it was. It was.
It wasn't that fun.
No, it was until, like I said, the last day was last day and a half, probably.
Hmm. What kind of advice would you give to somebody who's playing with the idea of doing it?
Basically, just be prepared to not sleep real well, probably.
Have a ground crew?
Absolutely have a ground crew.
Yeah.
Pack light. There's not things, you know, you don't need a radio. You don't need, you only need one pair of clothes. Just things like that. Cover, long sleeves. I should have had gloves, probably. I mean, and I swore I had this little, I swear everybody needs one of those little skirts because I think that's what saved me.
Explain what you mean by a skirt.
It keeps the water out of your boat. And I think that's
right. It goes over the top of the opening.
Right. And it's difficult to put the skirt on in the back. but you have all these great volunteers that would always help me with the back. Good. And they called me, oh, here's the lady with the skirt. I don't think anybody else had a skirt.
Isn't that funny? Huh.
And they're whopping $15, and it's the best $15 because I have bailed water out of my boat a lot.
So you knew, and that, okay.
And especially if you've got a long, skinny boat that's 15, you really have trouble getting water out of the boat. Okay. So, no, I've had a lot of water in my boat.
If you flip a boat and you're in a skirt, how do you ride it?
If you flip a boat.
If you have the skirt.
Oh, it comes off right away.
Oh,
it's a little bit of elastic, just.
Oh, yeah, it's elastic, and it literally, right, I mean, it was tight. There was no water that was going to get around my waist. Right. That sucker was like wearing a girdle almost.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
I recommend, absolutely recommend.
But some people say it makes it hotter.
Oh, it might.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah.
But that, like I said, the only thing that I was exposed, and my lips got extremely sunburned, my inside of my lips. I mean, I went through Vaseline when I go home like you wouldn't believe. I kept it with me constantly. And it took about a week to heal. So, and those were just things I did not think, but I wouldn't, like I said, I never would have thought I would have had a sore on my bottom, but that was, I did.
So is this the biggest challenge you've taken on?
I think it probably has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's next, Mount Everest?
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, I'm scared of heights.
So giving birth is nothing like this, right? Giving birth.
I didn't have too much trouble giving birth. So, well, no, I take that back. I did, but but no. No, I'm very glad I did it, but no, I don't know what I'll...
Anybody else got a real quick question? Well, Tammy, thanks. Thanks for
thank you.
Going
your family's
on.
Proud of you, Tammy.
And Dad amazing. Didn't even fall asleep during that. I was going to make you guys drag Dad out to Glasgow.
Little cabal here was Tammy's siblings and two sisters and myself and my 98-year-old dad. Is that, are you 98, Chet?
He's
98. 98, right. And my wife. And I sure am glad I had them helping me with questions. All right, I think we'll call this a wrap. Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you, Sam.
Tammy, real quick. Shauna had been heard. Did Tammy make it? She said, I can't believe it. She said,
really?
I can't